Okay, so we've been in this series on faithfulness, and we've been talking about how to be faithful. What does that look like? And we started with the fact that God is faithful. This is how he lives his life, and he loves living his life this way. God has to live forever. And so the things that he does is so that he will feel good about his life forever. And so in that, you and I can look and say, okay, this is how God lives his life. This must be a good way for me to live my life. That just makes sense, doesn't it? So when God shares the things that he likes and doesn't like, what he's sharing with us are things that would help us to also like ourselves. And there are times that, I don't know about you, but I look back on my life and I go, man, I didn't like myself during that period of time. But I can always look back and realize there's a reason why I didn't like myself at that period of time. It was because of some things that I was doing or shouldn't have been doing. Am I alone? Y'all with me? Decisions that I had made, things that I should not have done. And so you end up not liking yourself. Well, God loves himself. Isn't that wonderful? How awful it would be if he didn't love himself. So why? Because he loves and respects the life that he's got in his life. He's chosen the right things. Imagine if he was a bad God. That'd be bad. Really bad. He'd be like the little kid with the magnifying glass at the anthill, you know? He's like, ha, 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 there's Sam. I'm just going to put a little heat on him today and just watch his head sizzle. So God has made decisions in his life, and you and I can learn from these decisions and know that these are the right ways to live. And if we live this way, we're going to not only just have a better life and better friends and all of that, we will be better with ourselves. We will enjoy ourselves better. All right, so today, the thing that we're talking about today with regard to being faithful. So the title of the series is Faithfully. So the topic today is this: being firm. Firm is one of those words like stable and steady, which we've already talked about. Now we're going to be talking about being firm. Being firm, resolved, set. Like when concrete sets, right? Set. Made up in your mind. I have a made up mind. I'm set, I'm firm, I'm steady, and I'm faithful. So being firm in your decision, being firm in what you've decided is so important when it comes to faithfulness. And let me tell you, God is looking for people who are firm in their faith. He's looking for them. And look what the scripture says that he does for these people. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to what? Strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Those whose hearts are firmly committed to him, right? You have people in your life that have one foot in and one foot out. Can you count on them? You can't count on these people, can you? And here's the question. What are they waiting for? They're just one foot in and one foot out. Okay, I might, depends on what happens. Might go this way or might go that way. And they're in your life, and they're like, okay, but I expect you to be fully committed to me because I've got one foot in, and that should be enough. I want you to take care of me. I want you to be fully committed to me, but one foot out. You've got people in your life like that. I met with a couple recently, and they'd been married for about 10 years, and I heard what both of them had to say about the relationship now at this point, and their relationship. They're really struggling, and here's what the guy said. He said, you know what? From the very beginning of this relationship, I could tell, even from the day that we got married, you've just been one foot in and one foot out. You've never been 100% in. You've never been fully committed in. And you know what? She signed the marriage license. That sounds like a commitment, doesn't it? She got up in front of a crowd at a ceremony and she said, I do, three or four times. No. That's awesome. She said, I do in front of this crowd. And That sounds like commitment, doesn't it? But he could tell that the whole time she's just been half in and half out. Is there going to be a better thing coming along here? What's interesting about faithfulness is what God says about faithfulness is so different than what we've embraced as a culture to be faithful. Our culture is so bent on letting our feelings guide us when it comes to love and faithfulness. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And that's why we have so many people one foot in and one foot out. Why? Because we're waiting for a feeling that's going to tell us what to be committed to. And there's no firmness, there's no steadiness, there's no sturdiness to our commitments and our relationships and our commitment with God. And listen, this is what God is looking for. And what God says about all of this is so different than what you and I have embraced as a culture that we have embraced as a culture. We got to realize how much our culture really does affect us with regard to our faithfulness. And here's the thing. We're so afraid that something better is going to come along. And I've committed to this. We've been trained in so many ways to think in terms of buyer's remorse. Oh, man, as soon as I buy this phone, I know the new one's coming out. As soon as I buy this car, I know they're going to change the model and it's going to look way better. And we do that in our relationships and we do it with our church. Well, as soon as I commit to this church, a new one's going to pop up and it's going to be great. Nope. Our decision to be faithful is so connected with how we feel. And it's so wrong. But what God says about faithfulness is completely different than what we've heard and what we're accustomed to. You see, God teaches us that we can go all in on who we and what we commit ourselves to, not looking back. And God says that he blesses that kind of a person. He looks to and fro throughout the earth, searching to strengthen people who are fully committed to him. And in that, you've got to understand that when we make commitments to each other, we're making commitments to him. Do you get that? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talked about it. How you treat others is how you treat me. He says, how you treat the people in your life is what you do to me. If you fully get in and commit in your relationships to the people in your life and God's purpose in your life, he says, that's how you're treating me. So we live out our relationship with him, with the people in our lives. And when you are firm and you are steady and you're committed, a full firm commitment in your life to the people in your life that you're supposed to be committed to and to the purpose of God in your life, guess what? God's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. It's a promise. But our culture is all about the next new thing. Well, a new love. A shinier friend comes along. A shimmering job comes along. And we're so quick to throw what's stable in our life and the people that love us, we're so quick to just turn them away for something else. The challenge for us today is to remember the grass is not always greener on the other side. In fact, it's just the same. Can't tell you how many times I drive down these roads and I look over and there's a cow just stretching or a steer stretching across, you know? So the challenge for us today is this, to decide to be a person who firmly sets your affections, desires, attention firmly on the truly meaningful and God-given people and purpose in your life, including God himself first. That's the challenge. Firm. Resolute. Set. Faithfully. Some people live halfway in a marriage and they wonder why in the world am I miserable? And it's always the other person's fault. But yet, one foot in, one foot out. Should I commit to this? Why is my marriage frustrated? I'm so frustrated. Been in this marriage for 10 years, 15 years. Well, are you on the fence? What if you jumped in? What if you just went all in? I guarantee you it would make a difference. Some people are halfway in their job and wonder, why in the world am I never up for promotion? Because you're half in and half out. And everybody can tell it. Everybody can see it. Everybody knows it. Some people are one foot in and one foot out and being a parent, and they don't know why things are going bad. Being halfway in your church is a problem, and everybody, it's uncomfortable for everybody. Well, I'm here and there and whatever. Come on. Seriously, everybody sees it. And everybody needs you. Everybody needs your faithfulness, needs your gifts, needs your talents, needs your abilities. Your family, your marriage, everything in your life needs you to firmly commit yourself in. Not half in, not half-heartedly, but to firmly put yourself in. And it's indicative of your relationship with God. You guys hearing me? All right, so here's what we need to know that God says. Number one, your affections are your choice. Your affections are your choice. Don't wait for your affections to happen just naturally. Because if you do that, you're going to trust your feelings. And what happens when you trust your feelings? Evil gets involved. The culture of the world gets involved and says, here's what you should feel. This is what you should think. And what happens is you end up ruining your life because you're making decisions based upon your feelings as opposed to you choosing where to set your affections. Here's what the scripture says. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What is he saying? You choose where your affection goes. You choose where to put your feelings. As opposed to waiting for a feeling to happen that determines what your life is about. You choose where your feelings go. That's way more effective than just waiting for a good feeling to happen. Because oftentimes a good feeling is a wrong feeling. Anybody ever experienced that? You choose your affections. Don't let your affections choose who you are. You choose what you like and don't like. And here's the best thing also. You can also look and find out what God likes and doesn't like. And you can go, okay, that's what I should like and that's what I shouldn't like. Because God has a good life and I want a good life. I want good relationships. I want good people in my life. I want a good church family. I want a good marriage. I want all the things that God has provided for me to be good. And if you will do things the way he says to do them, guess what? You can choose that and it will happen to you. It just takes time. It takes time. You can choose to believe what God says about good and evil based on truth, not based on feelings. People know when you're not firm, don't they? The people in your life. You know when people in your life are not firm, don't you? You know when they're half in and half out. And it kind of reminded me of this song. Do y'all remember the song the Righteous Brothers sang? You've lost that love and feeling. And that's what the song is all about. Listen to the words, and I'll read some of them to you. Yeah, some of you started singing it already. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. He's like, okay, you used to close your eyes. Don't close them anymore. That's got to be awkward, right? And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. In other words, is that good? Did I get the scratch done right? And he says, you're trying hard not to show it, baby. But baby, I know it. You've lost that loving feeling. Whoa. That loving feeling. And he says it again. You've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone. Whoa. And And then he says, now there's no welcome look in your eyes when I reach for you. It's, what are you doing? Stop it. No welcome look. And girl, you're starting to criticize little things I do. I didn't know that was in there. It's pretty funny, isn't it? He says, and he goes on to say that, he says, I get down on my knees and beg for you to love me again, is what he's saying. I'd get down on my knees and beg for you to love me again, to get that feeling back again like you used to. And then he does. And the song, you know, it climaxes with, please, please, please. Return to me. I need your love. So bring it on back, right? And he just keeps screaming it. Bring it on back. Bring it on back. Please, 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 please. How many of you know that is not the way to get a girl back? Yeah. And sadly, this is God's love story with humans, really. He's like, okay, you people have lost your love and feeling for me. You've lost your first love, me. But God didn't beg because he knows that that's not the right way to get us back. That creates a monster in your life. You need me? Okay. I'll come back. Creates a monster in your life. So what did Jesus do? He said, all right, this is how much I love you. You can love me if you want to. But I'm putting it all in. I'm putting me all in. I'm firm. I'm resolute. If you want to love me, if you want to have a relationship with me, here I am. I died for you. And if you want to get to know who I am and what I like and what I don't like, that's great. I'm looking for people who will be in my life that are willing to lay aside their old life, no matter how good or bad it was, that will just let it go and embrace a new life with me, living for me, living with me, thinking the way I think. As long as you learn who I am, you will grow into understanding who I am. He says, I want you to know this is me, and I'm waiting for you to just be firm in your relationship with me. You decide to love me or not. And he's not going to beg you. He's not going to plead with you. And as a preacher, I'm not going to do that for him. I'm just saying he's there, he's here, and he says, I love you, I died for you, and I care about you. And if you'll have a relationship with me, here I am. So the scripture, to set your affection on things above, I want to read some more of that from Colossians. He says, think about what is up here, not about what is on earth. This is a different version. Set your affection on things above. Think about what is up here, not about what is on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ who sits beside God. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Don't be controlled by your body. What is he saying? Don't be controlled by your feelings that you have on this earth. Don't do that. And then we'll skip down to verse 9. You've given up your old way of life with its old habits. He says, set that aside. All of the stuff, the way you used to think, the way you used to do things, the feelings that you had, those are not going to live, those are not going to give you a good life. It's time to move into a new life. He says, you have to give up your old way of life with its habits. Each of you is now a new person. You are becoming more and more like who? And you will understand him better. Well, I just don't understand God. I don't understand why he doesn't like that, or how, why he likes this, and that doesn't make sense to me. Guess what? You've yet to be firm in a relationship with him that says, all right, I'm going to get to know who he is, what he likes and doesn't like, and I will begin to understand him better. That's exciting. Don't you know people that don't know him and they're like, well, I don't understand why he likes this and doesn't like that. Don't you know that? Well, here's their opportunity. If they'll get to know him, they can understand him. You see, your affections are your choice. You've got to take charge of them. You've got to decide where your affections and your feelings are set. Imagine getting into your car and saying, okay, I really need some food. I'm hungry. I need to go to the store. And you tell your car this. Okay? So you start up the car. You put it in drive. And you let go of the steering wheel and let go of the brake and expect your car to just take you to the store. Now, some cars are capable of doing that these days, so it's not a complete illustration anymore. But most of us in here don't have a car that will just drive you to the store. If you just let go of the steering wheel and pull your foot off the brake, what happens? The car is just going to go straight ahead into whatever's straight ahead in front of you, isn't it? And that would just be stupid, really stupid, right? But I have to tell you, more stupid is it for me to decide to let this body just take me wherever it wants to go than it would be for me getting into my car and just saying, okay, my car can go wherever it wants to go. It'd be more stupid for me to let this body just take me where I want it. Why? Because my car doesn't have desires. My car doesn't have feelings. My car just goes where I tell it to go. And in this body, I don't know about you, but I got feelings. And I've got desires. I want tasty cakes. And they quit making them. I think God told them to quit making them so that I could live longer. And there's tasty cakes, but not the ones I really love. My addiction was just stripped away. Those desires that this body has, I would completely engulf those. And there are other things in our lives that we would just go, okay, I'll just give myself over to it. But no, we have a choice to make. We can choose where our affections are set. Your affections are your choice. Who are you faithful to? What are you faithful to? What are you doing with your life? Secondly, the decision you make is between true love and fake love. The decision you make is between true love and fake love. First, notice that your affections are your choice. And understand that the decision you make with your affections is either true love or fake love. Have you set your affections on true love or fake love? God teaches us that who and what we love is our decision. We don't wait for love to strike us. Listen, if you're waiting for love to strike you, you could make a wrong choice. Love is a decision, not based on feelings. It's a decision. And being firm in that decision after you've decided it is necessary. Deciding to overlook someone's flaws is a choice of love. Deciding to love someone in spite of their looks is a choice of love, isn't it? When someone is in a moment of failure, yet they're on the right path, and you say, all right, I'm going to overlook. I'm going to walk with them through that because I trust that they're on the right path. That's a choice of love. It's a decision of love. Deciding to not set your affections in the wrong direction that would destroy relationships. That's a choice of love. You see, there are decisions that you and I make that can absolutely destroy the people that are closest to us in that relationship with them. But here's the beauty of serving God. When you take on His agenda for your life, when you take on His way of living, your relationships are restored. They're better. They're stronger. And you will have people in your life like you never dreamed of. And that's one of the reasons why the church is here. We're drawn to be with each other. When you live His way, your life comes together and your life will be full of healthy relationships. Aren't you seeing that, Sam? You are, aren't you? It's beautiful, isn't it? It takes time, though. And one of the things that I love about this man is from the day that he first came, he said, I'm going to be here. And I know that there are some Sundays, because I can tell it, when Sam is like, but I'm firm and I'm here. I've decided. I've resolved. I'm set. I'm committed. And look at what God is doing in this man's life. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another." What is he saying? It's a commandment. Well, you can't tell me to love somebody. Apparently, he did. That means love is a choice. You don't have to wait for the feeling. Whether you love your spouse is a choice. Love your kids, your parents, it's a choice. Love your church family, it's a choice. And all of it, you are free to choose or free to walk away. And it's your choice as to whether or not you're going to be firm and resolved and say, these are my people. And I will live a life that honors these relationships. Jesus is telling the people to set their affections on each other. You see, fake love is demanding without fully committing. Fake love is half in, half out. See what's going to work out. I don't know. My feelings might take me this way or that way. We'll see. But firm love, fake love is not firm love. True love is firm, resolved, relentless, unyielding, set in stone and solid. You know, Jesus is the picture of true love. He came and he lived among us. The scripture says that he was perfect, without sin. What does that mean? It means Jesus did not use one person for his own pleasure. Jesus was passionate about his Father's kingdom. He was passionate about that purpose. He was firmly set in it. And one day Jesus went into Jerusalem and it was time for Passover. And he went into the temple and he found in the temple there were cattle, there were sheep, and there were doves. And the people were selling them in the temple. And Jesus was like, what in the world? And he looked over and he saw the money changers. And he saw what they were doing. And you got to understand, the reason Jesus got so upset in this moment is because instead of the people bringing their best to God, the challenge for them was to bring their best sacrifices, the best among their flocks, and bring them all the way to the temple to bring them for the Passover celebration and offer them as offerings to God. It was a sacrifice, a personal sacrifice, a connection from their livestock to say, God, we honor you and trust you and believe you for our lives. And they weren't doing that. Instead, they had this modern church thing going on where, okay, you don't have to bring your sacrifices from home. You don't have to struggle all the way here bringing it. We will just sell you something when you get here. And so when the people got there, they found something even worse, that now there was price gouging because they'd left their animals at home and Passover is here. Now we got to pay more of a price for these animals. And so the people were frustrated. You know, you got to understand, this is supposed to be a good thing that people are bringing to God. And now they're frustrated. They got to pay all this money and they've got this. Jesus looked around and he was like, this is ridiculous. What's going on? And look at what he did. Now, this is the sweet and loving and kind and gentle Jesus, right? And Jesus goes into the temple and it says, so he took some rope and he made a whip. And he chased everyone out of the temple together with their sheep and cattle. He turned over the tables of the money changers and he scattered their coins. Jesus said to the people who had been selling the doves, get these doves out of here. Don't make my Father's house a marketplace. The disciples then remembered what the scripture said, my love for your house burns in me like a fire. Jesus was all in. He was 100% in and he still is. He's not half in and half out. When Jesus went to the cross, he was all in. He said, I'm here, I love you, and your responsibility is to love me back if you will. Firmly, go all in for me. That was love. James David, would you come? there's another word for the half in and half out in the Bible. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. I can take it or leave it today. I'll go and just see if God has something for me to say, or maybe I'll just go to breakfast. Or when you go home, with your wife or your husband? Are you lukewarm? Are you all in? And I got to tell you, I'm in a moment of extreme transition in my life. But that life is going away anyway. My kids are going to be doing their own things. And as much as we've been a tight-knit family all these years, I had a choice to make. And I got to be honest, it's hard. But I'm so happy. But in the same way, you leaving your old life, the way you think, the way you feel, and embracing a new life with Christ, it's that tangible, and it should be. Moved into a new house. Different faces that I love. Even cats. And it was fun last night. The ladybug, I don't know. I've never seen her crawl up in anybody's lap. Just sitting there on the couch, and she crawls up and lays down on my legs. I'm like, what in the world? There are new experiences in God's kingdom that you've yet to have. But you got to be firm. Say, okay, this is my new life. I'm with Him now. I'm with Jesus. And one day, His promise is that He's going to take you into His home. And it will be so worth it. But we have to be careful. In the book of Revelation, there's a documentation of the warning that God gives the people in the church about being lukewarm. And it was written to one of the churches. This one was called Laodicea. And it says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true, the faithful and true, the faithful and true. Remember, Jesus is faithful, and He's asking for it from you. The ruler of God's creation. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, well, I'm rich. I don't need anything. Everything's fine. I've acquired wealth. What is he talking about? You say, oh, well, I've got this life here. And everything's fine. I don't need to change. All right, I got a little bit of Jesus in my life and everything's fine. He says, you're rich. You think you're rich. But I look at you and I go, you don't have a thing. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's his promise. It's relationship. God, I want to honor you with my body, with my mind, with my heart. Help me to live for you. Come on, would you pray with me? Just say it in your own words. God, I want to live for you. I don't want to follow my feelings. I want to direct my affections towards you. And in so doing, I know that my life is going to come together. I will have peace, hope, friends, family. I choose today to be firm and resolved. I'm a believer in you, and I love you with all of my heart. I love you. I give you my life. My former life is gone. I embrace a new one for you. In Jesus' name. So what do you do when you lose that loving feeling? Choose it back. I can do that. Yeah. If you've lost it for your spouse, choose it back. If you've lost it for your parents, choose it back. If you've lost it for your kids, choose it back. And by all means, if you've lost it for God, come on, choose it back. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a living church. We are. But as we grow, we're going to have to inspire everybody to choose to love Him. Amen. All right, well, that's all I've got. Do you love him? Okay, that was fairly lukewarm. I got to be honest with you. Do you love him? Because he loves you. Let's do what he likes. Are you with me? Let's do what he likes. And let's not do what he doesn't like. Let's love him. Let's live for him. Come on, firmly. All right. Would you stand? Father, we're so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for your firmness and love for us. And help us to be that this week for you and for each other. I pray for your blessings upon us as we go today, and we thank you for that. Thank you so much for your help in our lives. I pray for your protection, your peace, your strength. Bless each and every one of us as we go today. Thank you, Father, for protecting each and every one as we go throughout this week. We love you. Bless our homes, our families, our children, our health, our finances in every way, that we may be the strong in this community to be able to help and love others. In Jesus' name.